All right, hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. Is that what we are? I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Get with the game, Kara.
Hello.
And later tonight, our topic is the controlled demolition of the American Empire, and our guest, Charlie Robinson, will be talking about the saving of Western culture. So, like, if you want to hold on to your Velveeta cheese and sitcoms, you know, now might be the time to fight for your Velveeta cheese and sitcoms.
Yeah. He's actually anti the demolition of the American Empire, though. Like, he thinks it's bad, so I don't know.
You know, you gotta fight for your cheese. Fight for your
cheese. Yeah, it's true. Fight for your cheese. Okay, so let's get into the news here.
Do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do. So multiple UFOs have been observed over Atlantic City in the last few months, the last one just a few days ago. That sighting showed a view of the city skyline and hovering above it a bright, motionless orb. Several of the previous sightings match this description as well. So what is it? Are aliens observing Jersey, or do they simply not know what Venus looks like over on the East Coast? Either way, I'm sure MUFON will be on the case soon enough. Perhaps a more interesting UFO sighting comes from Guadalajara, Mexico, where a vacationing family visiting Huey Titan Canyon captured video of a strange bright sphere floating through the trees and appearing to change shape. Ball lightning? Swamp gas? Disembodied spirit? Who knows, but the video is compelling enough that ufologist Scott Waring said of this sighting, "This is one of those, if this won't convince you, what will," kind of sightings. There's a video, I'd check it out. However, this all comes during a year when the faith there's something out there beyond our planet may be tested, as scientists believe they've confirmed the source of mysterious fast radio bursts, a type of peculiarly patterned signal from space that have often been held up as possible alien communication. Scientists now believe these are merely being produced by magnetars, a type of neutron star with an extremely powerful magnetic field, powerful enough that the magnetic field could rip a human being apart at a distance of 1,000 kilometers. Magnetars are rare, but are believed by scientists to be responsible for many types of anomalous signals from outer space due to the extremely high energies they produce. And finally, we may be out of a job since scientists have trained a bot to identify the difference between real and made-up conspiracies. The bot, created by a team at UC Berkeley, is capable of identifying different online posts about a conspiracy and establishing connections between them, creating a graph of the conspiracy. Real conspiracies took many years to fully graph, and removing individual posts from the equation did not significantly affect the shape of the graph, since there are so many other connections. By contrast, fake conspiracies could be stably graphed within a month or so, and the removal of just a few individual elements of the theory would cause the graph to fall apart or radically change shape. In a way, this confirms what we already know. Conspiracy theories provide simple answers. The truth is usually many times more complicated. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, Atlantic City UFOs and Guadalajara UFO. You know, I'm always wary of any place that sees UFOs with a lot of light pollution and neon signs.
Sure.
You know, it seems like there's a lot of opportunity in Atlantic City to mistake something for something else. Plus, there's no shortage of a tip in the bottle, and you know,
it's true. There is a video, and it's kind of interesting. Basically, it's just you see the skyline, and then above it, there's this bright white dot. But then again, it also could be Venus, the planet. So
is that around right now?
I
guess it's around
all
the time.
I think it's around all the time, but I don't know whether that matches up with the time that the video was taken and, you know, the part of the sky it is. Someone who's more qualified in that respect could figure it out, but I couldn't.
This level of research, Kara, this is why you do news on this show instead of on the real news. Instead of on the real
true.
Fake news. The real fake news.
I looked into if it was real, and I determined that I don't know. Back to you.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a common answer in our industry. The one in Guadalajara sounds you know, that less light pollution and stuff like that. And, you know, it makes you wonder, like, if they're here to, I don't know, it really just comes down to intentions because,
yeah,
you know, if you were a UFO, why do you go out to BFE? But, you know, maybe you're getting some sort of a, well, Guadalajara is not the world's smallest town, is it?
No. Well, so these people weren't even, these people weren't even in the town. They were like in the, they were hiking, you know.
I see. Yeah.
So the video basically shows them like looking out over this basically heavily forested canyon.
All right. And then finally, a bot trained to, okay, so this seems like a totally great thing for anybody who doesn't believe in conspiracy theories.
Sure.
But anybody who does is going to basically say, you know, but what bot is watching the Watcher bot? You know, it's like.
It's true. Yeah. You know, has the bot turned on us and joined the Illuminati?
And also, this is basically saying that if other information doesn't exist about it on the internet, then it can't be real. But, I mean, Eyes Wide Shut sex cults, you think there's a possibility that these things are real, but they're not blasted all over the internet to create a likable and digestible bell curve? I don't know about this. I mean,
yeah, so this bot does have limitations. It's like, It can only tell you about things that are being written about. The purpose of this bot is not to ferret out truth wherever it may be,
right?
But to but that's analyze
the implication that they have on it. And I get what it's
that's true.
It's probably ferreting out fake news and you know, stuff put in there by our adversaries, you know, to try to manipulate
right.
it and stuff like that. And I get that, but they're kind of selling it like.
No, that's
the cell. That's the cell's a little too high.
Yeah, but this is just the beginning. I mean, this bot was made by a university team as like a proof of concept. So in a few years,
liberal education.
Well, in a few years, like, is Facebook going to be like constantly like graphing all the different? Like graphing all the discourse on their site and just hitting you with an automatic flag of like, ooh, it turns out you're part of this, you know, how much are they going to nitpick?
Right. What if it turns out we're not real?
Oh, we're not. I'm not. I don't know about you.
Speaking of not being real, do you think Radio Wasteland should go on Portal or what's it called?
What?
What's the new far right Twitter?
Oh, Parler?
Parler,
there's a
yeah.
couple. There's MeWe, there's Parler.
Should we go on Parler?
As long as no one can tell from the broadcasts where I live.
Is it like that? You're safe, man. You're safe. You're like, you're in a lib-controlled city. You're like surrounded by a barrier of snowflake.
Chauncey, Nazis can drive.
Yeah, but how far? How far can they drive? You know, how far are
the
they going to get?
Nazis don't have gas money.
How far are they going to get in their socialist-built little Nazi cars? Because just to remind Nazis out there, you guys are socialists.
That's a take on the situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're socialists. That's what a Nazi is.
Don't know if that's true. Like
that was
the
whole,
word
that was the whole thing about Nazis is they were all about the socialism.
No, what? No, it was they were named the National Socialist Party because socialist parties were very popular in Germany at the time, and they were trying to, you know, pick up some of that vote.
Yeah,
they're socialists.
They had the same cars, you know.
That's not what socialism is. Socialism isn't just the government does stuff. Socialism is collective control of like the means of production.
Yeah, they had that. Only they just had like.
But it wasn't
iron
collective
fist
control. It was totalitarian control, which is the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. They. Right. So down with Nazis, just in case anybody didn't catch that part.
We are anti-Nazi on the show.
Coming up next, the controlled demolition of the American Empire. Whoa, with our guest Charlie Robinson. How do you feel about the change in the world? Does change make you scared? Well, then you should probably tune in. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Seal Bay Exploration Park is open for safe, outdoor fun, play, and discovery. With towering playgrounds, exciting animal shows, our unique parrot playhouse, interactive games, and more, a day at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp is sure to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Our guest today, we're talking about the controlled demolition of the American Empire from the founding of the Federal Reserve to 9/11 to the coronavirus pandemic by Jeff Berwick and Charlie Robinson. And our guest today is Charlie Robinson. You know, that's a pretty current topic. I often wonder with people who write about this stuff, you know, I understand writing history and I understand writing fiction and stuff like that, but you know, writing current events seems to be in flux a lot.
Yeah.
Do you find that to be a difficulty when you're writing because information is constantly in flux?
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because Jeff and I started this book the summer of 2018, and we started working on it. I had the framework built out and the way I wanted it done. And the biggest frustration I had was that I wanted the book to come out sooner. I thought it was going to come out in March. We were done with just about everything, and we were just figuring out when we were going to release it, and then the corona situation hit. So then we slammed on the brakes. We figured this is going to be extremely relevant. We're going to wait and go back. You know, we'll just see how this plays out, add it into the book, and release it later. And what happened in the end is that our timing for releasing it turned out to be perfect. But during that time, when we had to go back and put the COVID part into the book, I obviously had to reread it again. And in those 2 years since we started, I had to, not only did I have to put the COVID component into it, I had to go back and change a lot of the verb tense from future tense when I wrote it to past tense, because it had already happened in that 2 year period. So when you mentioned that, it really kind of rung true for me, because we were like, I was like, well, I mean, the downside is we've got more work to do. I've got to go in and change all this stuff. But the good news is at least we know we're on the right track, since the things we were talking about happening have actually, a lot of them have already happened. So it turned out that in the end, my biggest frustration, the timing, worked out in a way that I couldn't ever imagine, that the timing, releasing it on the Friday right before the election, you know, talking about the coming chaos, everyone, you know, if we'd put it out in March, people would have said, I get it, it's probably coming. But when you put it out the last week of October of 2020, everyone's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. This book is timely. And so I think it's, I think people have connected with it for a variety of reasons, but one, it works out that it's the timing. It's so relevant. And of course it's fresh now because it has all of that Corona component to it. If we'd put the book out and didn't have that in there, it would have been missing a big part.
Right. You know, for interest's sake, especially in this bipartisan world that we live in, I scanned the book to see how often it said the word Democrats or Republicans. Mm-hmm. And it says Republican 4 times and it says Democrat 4 times. I mean, like 25 times. But when I went through and read it, when it says the Democrats more often, it's saying, you know, that don't think that it's just the other side. Democrats are doing this too. And so often when we see books, we see them targeted at, you know, like Bob Woodward's book is probably not targeted at Republicans, or right. or other books right. are probably not targeted at Democrats. You know, do you feel that you have a target for this book? Because you seem to be saying that this destruction yeah. of the United States is more than just...
I think there's something in this book to piss off everyone. Yeah. And I say that in the best possible way.
There most certainly is. Well, let me tell you something. We're not on either team here. We're on the side of, we're trying to be on the side of common sense and logic and the betterment of humanity. I'm not on the red team. I'm not on the blue team. And Jeff Berwick is, let me tell you a little something about him. He's a Canadian who left Canada years ago. He lives in Mexico. He's been there for 10 years. He's an anarchist. He started Anarchapulco, which is the largest anarchist convention in the world. That happens in Acapulco, Mexico every February. He owns a company called the Dollar Vigilante that works in, deals with financial services. You know, when people tell Jeff Berwick, oh, if you like anarchy so much, why don't you go to Somalia? He does. He goes to Somalia to see what it's like. And when they say, oh, well, you talk about hyperinflation of the currency, have you ever seen it in real life? He said, actually, no. So he goes to Venezuela in the middle of a currency crisis. And those two, you know, the reports a couple months ago of the two guys that stormed Epstein's Island with video cameras in their bathing suits, that's Jeff. He was one of those guys.
So, oh, I mean, really?
we're talking about a guy that has a problem with authority, that does not like any government. And so we take his perspective, which is extreme and awesome. And you take my perspective, which is I am in agreement with him on the majority of his things, but I'm not as hardcore as he is. I'm an American who lives in America, has lived here my whole life. I'm not a fan of either one of the parties. And so when we put our heads together and came up with the book, it kind of worked in a way. It wasn't, you know, we probably would have been more embraced by one side if we had gone the Bob Woodward way and just picked one team and said, this side is great. The other side is the cause of all the problems. Let's blame them. And we could appeal to half the country and sell a million books. Sure. Well, as it is, we're a number one bestseller on Amazon. So we still won in that sense, that there's enough people that are frustrated with the system in general, and both parties in particular, mm-hmm. that they see the book and they read it and we don't get into the partisan bickering because we dislike both sides equally. So right. it makes it a little bit easier yeah. for us. Of course, like you said, Kara, it pisses off a lot, you know, a higher segment of the population, but we're okay with that. We're fine. Yeah. We're not trying to make everybody happy. We're just trying to be as honest and objective as we can. And the truth is, both sides are to blame for this. This isn't just one side did what. Now, we can debate the flavor, you know, the flavor of insanity you want to vote for, but they both play a role in this. And I think that people that really get into these sorts of topics, they know that. I mean, they see this. They know that these guys fight on television, you know, in Congress, and they say awful things about each other. And then you know where they are? They're in La Quinta playing golf together when they're not doing that. Right. So this is all, it's all theater, you know.
Now, I don't really know, you know, I'm a armchair guy, but I don't really know a ton more than anybody else about politics as far as your average Joe in this world. But I remember during the 2016 election, I was thinking that the world, both the right and left, appeared to be getting on board and viewing big corporations as being the problem. Mm-hmm. And I thought, hey, this is a possibility that both sides might agree on this. And then all of a sudden it went, and they didn't agree. But, you know, who, I guess in this world, what I find myself constantly saying is that there has to be a way to stop the divide. So I guess my question to you would be, in which areas are the Democrats and Republicans, the right and left, whichever label you want to put on it, in which areas are they in cahoots?
Oh, well, growing up, I had this belief, it might have been correct at the time, but I was a kid, you know, I had this belief that the Republicans were kind of cold-hearted and sort of like, you know, figure it out for yourself, you know, pick yourself up from your bootstraps and get to work and stop complaining and doing, you know, take care of yourself and don't worry about anybody else. And I had the impression that the Democrats were more lovey-dovey, like, hey, let's help everybody else out, you know, let's be a little bit more compassionate. And I like that better. What I've come to learn is that when it comes to war, they're both on the same team. They might pretend that they don't want the wars or things like that, but they're enablers. They both enabled the military industrial complex to continue these unchecked wars. They both sign off on the $1 trillion a year package that goes through Congress for the military. They lobbyists from Lockheed Martin approach both parties. They don't just pick one over the other. So there's a lot of they're all. And if you're not on board with that, if you're Tulsi Gabbard, let's say, as an example, and I'm not pretending to know exactly how she thinks, but she comes across as more anti-war and also has a background as being a soldier or being in the military. If you're anti-war or anti-imperialism, you're not probably going to get too far in American politics. You're only going to go up about as high as they'll let you rise up before they snuff you out. If you're not on board with empire building, You're gonna have AIPAC breathing down your neck. You're gonna have Lockheed Martin trying to freeze you out, not give you any money. You know, so they have ways to make you compromise. You know, I mean, they will put the pressure on both parties to get on board with these endless wars. And I think one thing that the people in general, the public, can agree on is we don't want these endless wars. And yet the politicians, the one thing they can agree on is that they definitely want these wars.
Right.
So it, there's
they're
not
good
a
for the jobs. They're good for the economy. Yeah.
We are not in like a representative form of government. It's like we can fight over Trump, Biden, all that stuff. But the public really is against the wars now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
The Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robo buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
I know this is a stupid question maybe to people who follow this stuff, but why would they both be on board with war? Are we pillaging these countries? I mean, I know we are with oil, but I mean, Yemen, are we, I mean, or is it just solely the transfer of money, moving the economy? You know, why would both sides be on board with war? Yeah.
It's a little of both. It's part of it is the money, obviously, that flows through these military industrial complex companies that and then that goes back into lobbying, and then that, you know, fuels this. But we also have these arrangements with allies of ours like Saudi Arabia and Israel and places like that. So we find ourselves doing the bidding of them, backing them up in some countries, providing them with bombs, providing them with logistics and things like that, spying and
business, you know, routes.
In Afghanistan, as an example, why would we bomb Afghanistan and do all that? Well, it's not because they sent hijackers to take down the World Trade Centers. We know that. But what is going on there? Well, in Afghanistan, we have the poppy fields, which are guarded by the CIA, and that turns into opium that is used, and we run the largest drug-running operation in the world is conducted by the CIA. Don't for a second think that the Pablo Escobars and the Sinaloa cartels are the biggest. The CIA is the biggest. They've been running it for a long, long time. There's also $15 trillion worth of mineral resources in Afghanistan. And if you watch, if you ever saw the video of Pete Buttigieg doing some Skype interview or, you know, from his home, back behind him, he had a map of Afghanistan, and on it, there was all these circles around all of the mineral regions. And of course, Pete Buttigieg was a CIA asset. So it's like, this isn't even really a secret. They're extracting resources from that. It could be oil too. We know that with regards to Syria, the reason why America is involved in bombing campaigns there is because they're trying to run a pipeline through. So it's all money. It's always money. And of course, the destabilization too. Like you when Israel is your partner and Israel is in the Middle East and they're surrounded by all these Arab nations, then if you're trying to help them out, one of the things you can do is destabilize and make sure and balkanize that region into smaller little countries instead of big, you know, Iran and big Iraq, you know, and keep them destabilized so that they can't go after Israel. That, of course, is why AIPAC lobbies America so hard. It's why part of the reason why we give them $3.4 billion a year just for being our friends and, you know, things like that. So there's a variety of reasons why we get dragged into the war, but into endless wars. And now we see, and we write in the book a little bit too about it, this new pivot to Asia that Obama talked about and how dangerous that is when we start to set our sights on China and start to antagonize China. So it's the one thing that both parties can agree on, more war, endless wars.
It seems contrary to the American way because, you know, we're
the way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, specifically this is like, conglomerate franchising of other countries for a monopoly sort of it's like some of the other countries are business partners and some of them are franchises and some of them are opposition, but it's basically monopoly free market battle.
Yeah. And what really woke me up to this whole thing years and years ago was I read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And he worked for a company called Maine, which was like Halliburton, like a multinational engineering firm. Mm-hmm. And he would be sent in to these countries like Ecuador. And his job would be to meet with the president and talk to the president and say, hey, you know, you've got the topography here for a really great hydroelectric power plant. It'd be great. We could build it here. And it'll generate all this electricity. And think of all the benefits. There'll be lights. All the kids will learn how to read at night. They'll have electricity. It'll generate money. We'll put some money in your pocket. We'll take care of it. And they says, wow, this is great, but we can't afford that. He says, don't worry. We've got it all set up with the IMF and the World Bank. Mm-hmm. They're fine. They've got the money for you. Well, you know, here's how it all works. And they sign on to this deal. The plant gets built. It starts generating revenue. But never enough revenue to cover it, right? And that was, of course, by design. So they fall behind in their payments to the IMF and the World Bank, and they can't make their loan payments. And like any good loan shark, IMF approaches them, you know, baseball bat in hand, saying, "You owe us a lot of money, but we might be able to work something out. Why don't you vote our way in a UN resolution, or you privatize your fishing industry and let our buddies buy it, or you allow us to put a U.S. military base here, or some bad deal that you don't want." And I'm watching this going, this is how, yes, we can enslave countries militarily, but we can also do it through debt. And the IMF and the World Bank are co-conspirators in this. Of course, they're involved in this globalized, you know, this globalization scam. So it woke me up to the fact that I had always assumed that the way you take down other countries was through force. And in fact, the best way to do it is through debt. And this came to me as I'm reading this book in 2007, while I'm working in real estate in Las Vegas, when everything is booming. And I've got guys or people that are buying houses from me that make, you know, $8 or $9 an hour, and they're getting approved by our lender to buy a $400,000 house. And they're going, I don't know how this happened. I got approved. I must be able to afford it. And it's like, oh no, I realize like I'm a part of this and I didn't even understand the game. You know, I didn't understand they're doing to you guys what the IMF and World Bank does to countries, you know, and 2 years later, those people that bought those houses, they couldn't afford them. They knew that. And then the bank takes back tangible ass, takes back a physical house for loaning out fake money from the Federal Reserve that they got. And it changed the way I viewed the power of the banks and how unbelievably evil they are. So when you talk about franchising, you know, like that, that's how they get their foothold in these countries is they get them into a debt trap and then twist their arm and make them do the things that they want them to do. It's genius, of course, but it's devious as hell. So
yeah, that's funny. One of the fixes for the world, I've come up with a bunch, but one of the fixes for the world that I've come up with is that we each get a rubber stamp with our name on it. And every decision that's made for anything, somebody has to put their name on it. So that in the end, when we say, how did this happen? And we look at the paper, we're just all, well, Chauncey Hallworth did this.
Yes.
You know, and so these banks that hide behind these corporations and stuff, I think there should have to be somebody who's just all, we need to go get John Smith.
Oh,
it's the one who said this was okay.
They just go, that guy did it. That guy did
it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's frustrating. And of course, and you see this with banks rigging marketplaces. They've rigged LIBOR. They've rigged Forex. They've rigged COMEX. They've all been found guilty. They are all convicted felons. They pay a fine. Nobody goes to jail. You know, they make $100 billion rigging a marketplace for 10 years. They pay a $2 billion fine. And the CEO goes, great job, guys. You know,
right.
I mean, what a return on investment. Cost us two. We made 100. Do that all day long. Nobody went to jail. Nobody's going to go to jail. So we're in this like sort of world where the vast majority of people have no idea that this stuff is even going on. But the people that are aware of it are extremely frustrated and they're counting on regulatory agencies and governments to step in and punish these banks for the things that they do. And that will never happen because the same regulatory agencies are staffed by people that used to work at the banks or the government that's supposed to, you know, come down, you know, drop the hammer on these big banks. They either have received campaign contributions from the bank or when they're done being president, they go give speeches to Goldman Sachs and get paid $400,000 at a time as a, you know, as a speaking fee.
Right.
So it's a rigged game. It's frustrating. And as you go through this cycle of, you know, you get frustrated and then a lot of people just get totally demoralized and they just go throw their hands up and go, what's the point? And that's kind of where a lot of the population is right now. They're in that, like, what's the point phase.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know quite a few people that entertained not voting at all because they didn't see a point. But the other question that I wanted to get to, you started talking about infrastructure.
Yeah.
And this is one of my weird things, privatization versus socialization and how they've been demonized on both sides of the country. Yet, you know, if we want to look at things that, like personally, I don't think that prisons should ever be privatized.
Neither do I. I'm so glad you said that.
And that, you know, and people go, oh, well, things that are socialized are bad. And I'm just all, well, the military is socialized. The government itself is socialized, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate the military, but.
Well, I mean.
Look, point taken. Keep going.
But, you know, how would you. I know you don't maybe have a direct answer for this, but how do we decide moving forward what should be privatized, what should be socialized, and how to make that work? Because infrastructure you were bringing up is a prime example of things that are both privatized and socialized. You know, there's quite a few of both, and in one project there can be quite a bit of both. You know, how do we navigate that?
Yeah, and it's funny, like if you look at the rail system as an example, the public rail system is a mess. The private rail system works fine and is spending a ton of money to upgrade their rail lines and expand them and things like that. So yeah, let's take the prison as an example, because I put that in the book in a fairly detailed example of that, going back to how it all started through an essay that Catherine Austin Fitz wrote about the privatization, how that works. So the way the private prison system even started is devious. So they wanted to roll out the concept of a private prison. And so they got Bill Clinton together with Joe Biden, and they wrote that omnibus crime bill. They knew they were going to need a feeder mechanism to make sure that the prisons weren't just full, but like overflowing full. So that crime bill came out, which criminalized things, you know, changed the sentencing laws for things like possession of cocaine, where you would get one sentence for powdered cocaine. And if you had rock cocaine, it was like mandatory minimum 5 years. And the sentence was usually like 5 to 10 times longer than powdered cocaine. And the reason for that was because powdered cocaine was considered to be the white drug and crack cocaine was considered to be the right. black drug. Right. And so you automatically start to see like, okay, this is not going to go well. But they took these high-powered law firms that had direct connections to Washington, D.C., and they put a lot of money into the law firms, and then that money flows into the campaigns of certain politicians. Then the politicians vote on the private prison concept and get that to become law. And then once these corporations and the law firms are getting money from the private prison industry, that money then flows back into the reelection campaigns of all of these officials.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to writing roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
The Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
you know, with anything like that, if there's barriers to entry and everyone wants to be a star and only a few people can be a star, well, it's like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to set yourself apart from all the other people that would like to be in this position? You're going to do right. exactly what you're told. You're going to do things that you never thought you'd do. You're going to, you know, and we see that. And sort of the veil's been lifted a little bit recently. We start to see the Harvey Weinstein part. I mean, I think people already knew that Hollywood's a dirty, dirty place, but they didn't really know how dirty it could be. And now you see Harvey Weinstein things, and you start to see some people that are prominent being kind of run out of Hollywood, and you see rumors of other prominent people being, you know, that they think are involved in child trafficking and things like that. You're like, whoa, this is really dark. But the first time you hear it, the first time you dig into that, it's very easy to be dismissive of it. It's very easy to just say this is conspiracy theory. This is just a bunch of maniacs trying to get clicks online, and they're talking about stuff that's not true. And to be fair, there's a segment that is just nonsense for sure.
Right. And segments of segments that are true that aren't true. You know, it's probably a web.
Yeah, it's a web. Exactly. Yeah.
So we don't have too much time until the end, so I guess I have to ask the important question here is there any hope for us?
Of course.
If we're so wrapped up in this and none of us know if we're coming or going, you know, how do you get out of that? And on top of that, how do you get 350 million people out of it?
Well, it's a tall order to be sure, and I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but I will say this. We do have some things going for us. First of all, we outnumber these maniacs 1,000,000 to 1. We're so much more powerful. We are forced to fight with each other because they know that in order to control us, keep us fighting, keep us down on the reservation, dividing ourselves into smaller and smaller groups, and we can't connect to look up at them. In fact, there's a great kids movie, A Bug's Life. And they show a scene
yes.
where the ants are where the grasshoppers are talking amongst themselves, and they're talking about one little ant that was rising up, and the one grasshopper says something along the lines of, well, what difference does it make? It's just one little ant. And the lead grasshopper is reminding them, listen, they outnumber us 1,000,000 to 1. If we let one of them stand up, they'll all stand up. So we've got to hammer down on them. So that's where we are. We are the ants. They are the grasshoppers. They're trying to keep us down and divided and filled with a sense that no matter what we do, we're never going to be able to come out of this on top. And that is not true. We definitely can do that, but we've got to take some responsibility for ourselves. I do a very good job of complaining about the people that are running this government and all the evil things that they're doing, and it's warranted, believe me. But I save a little bit of my frustration for the rest of us too. Like we have a responsibility in this. Like we have to stop outsourcing our critical thinking to the media and to the government and to these people that don't have our best interests. We have to. I know thinking is hard. I know it's difficult, you know, but we have to do it. We owe it to ourselves. We have to come together and start talking about these important things. We have to hold these maniacs accountable. We can take our attention and our money away from corporations that do not serve our best interests. We can take it. We have to keep an eye on the Federal Reserve, the creation of this fiat currency that we have. Jeff Berwick, who I wrote the book with, is a big crypto guy. He talks about that. I have some fears about crypto too, because not all coins are created equal, of course. But anything that is taking money out of the current U.S. dollar paradigm, I'm in favor of, because where we are right now, they have control over our monetary policy. They have control over our foreign policy. They have control over our domestic policy. And things like mandatory lockdowns, this is a prime time for us to rise up and collectively say, we're not doing this. And if we did that, we would be stunned at the sort of the sorts of gains that we could make. If all of a sudden we all collectively stood up and said, we're done. We're not doing that. As a prime example, yesterday Ticketmaster announced that they were going to do some policy where you had to have some sort of screening showing that you got the COVID vaccine in order to attend concerts. People freaked out. They changed it today. They said, we're not doing that anymore because the backlash was so strong. So, like, we have to remember, we can vote with our dollars. We can vote with our attention. Turn the mainstream media off. But whatever you do, turn it off. Stop giving them attention. Stop feeding into that, because they don't want the same things we want. And so we live on a beautiful, amazing planet. We're surrounded by great people, but we have to stop viewing each other as the enemy. We are not the enemy. You want this guy as president. I want that guy as president. Fine. Like, you might want to fight. Let's not fight about that. Let's collectively agree that we have to look up. That's the problem. We take care of that problem, all of these little things aren't going to matter anymore.
And let me throw this in. Sorry if you don't agree. I would say, do not get your news from social media.
Yes.
It is being yes. targeted so that it's only what you like. It is yes. reinforcing some of your worst qualities on both sides. You know, don't get your news Indeed. From social media.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie. Well, it's been a lot of fun having you on here. Where's the best place somebody can go to get your book? You said you're currently a bestseller on Amazon. Is that the best place? Keep that bestseller
best
in action.
That's the best place right now. And it's available in paperback and Kindle. We discounted the price right off the bat. We just knocked it down to $15 for a paperback and $6 for a Kindle. Normally should have been 25 and 10. We'd rather people just get out and just get the book. Get it for yourself. If these are topics that you feel comfortable, that you know a lot about, then buy it for somebody close to you that is having a hard time understanding this stuff. I feel like Jeff and I laid it out in a pretty logical way that makes sense. We backed it up with 254 footnotes. So if people are thinking, if I say something crazy in the book, which I say a lot of crazy things, I source it so that you can go find out where I got that from. Well, okay, it sounds crazy, but apparently it's true. So that's where people can find us. If you were interested in my work, I have a podcast called Macro Aggression, mm-hmm. iHeartRadio, and David Icke's video platform called Iconic. And my first book, The Octopus of Global Control, is also available on Amazon and available on my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Yeah.
So people, and can I just say, I've read the book. You know, I didn't agree with everything in it, but I'm super happy I read it. So,
Yay.
You know, people keep an open mind. Just
nobody's
you know,
going to agree with everything I said in there.
I mean, I agreed with, yeah, like,
yeah.
The important stuff, I think.
To me, that, yeah, and that book was just like a variety of topics. Let's try and do not a super deep dive on each one, but let's give you like surface level on a variety of different topics. So
things worth thinking about.
It's exactly something to start the conversation. Start to thinking about some of the flaws that we have that are fixable.
Maybe agreeing that a common enemy exists is the first step. Not even identifying it, just agreeing that one exists. You know?
Yeah. And it's not each other. We're not the enemy. We're all, you know, most of us are really good people that just want the best for ourselves, for our family, maybe our country, for humanity. You know, if we start there and go from a place of positivity, we can accomplish amazing things, but we have to get ourselves retrained on how we view the government. They're not our savior. The banks aren't here to help us. Multinational corporations don't give a damn about us. So if we understand that, then we can start making some different decisions and vote with our dollars and our attention and put them with the people and the things that matter most to us and starve them from the enemies.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been totally enlightening. The new book is called The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. Check it out on Amazon.com. It's by Jeff Berwick and Charlie Robinson, the latter of which, Charlie Robinson, here has been our guest here on Radio Wasteland. We'll have all your information up on RadioWasteland.us just in case you missed any of it. And thank you much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. That was fun. We'll be right back.
on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.